back. Who's this, Rick?
This is Rick.
Welcome back. How are y'all?
All right, doing good.
Good. What's the date today?
Today is March 6th.
March 6th?
2004.
I'm speaking from the belly of the beast. I think this is what they call a Sunday.
Right.
Right, I just want to greet the whole family, and we want to straighten up some more questions that you might have that I may have overlooked.
All right.
What is the question?
Okay, one of the questions is, do you feel that you received a fair trial by a fair?
That's a joke. That's a joke. The fair trial stopped on way before my age. The fair trial stopped when, way back in, 1997, when Seals, Howard Richard Seals, badge number 217 of Putnam County, said he got the first letter, and he didn't do nothing about it from 1997 all the way up to 2002, and he was classifying me as a pseudo-pedophile and all that kind of stuff, but then he didn't arrest me. He let me roam and circulate amongst children for a whole 10 years, which means he didn't believe the story he was saying. He couldn't possibly believe that I was that dangerous, otherwise he would have not left me, or he just didn't care about the kids, one or the other. But that's when the trial stopped being fair. When we first got down here and they plotted, the trial is not based on this arrest. This trial has been going on day after day since we've been here. They just used everything once they exhausted all their means by using all of those, forfeitures and civil this and property this, and we didn't do this with the permits, and we didn't do that there, and the house is too close to this, and the house is too tall, and this is too this, and there's too many houses here, and there's too many. When they finished and they saw it, when they got to the end of that, still the judge down there exonerated me from all responsibilities and all charges that was taking place in Putnam County and established that I no longer had any interest in Putnam County and that I had literally been a citizen of Clark County, voted in Clark County, car registered in Clark County, purchased a house in Clark County, social security number and everything there is logged in Clark County, right? They knew that I had got away from them and they panicked. You follow?
Right.
So what they did then is they said, we got to come up with something better, and then they said they started this whole thing. They knew when they came down, the first bogus indictment was already, which Seals then came down with a bogus grand jury, and that was overthrown. They knew then they was going to do five more indictments until they can confuse the public by throwing indictment after indictment to the public. They know the public's interest is short. Attention span is short. They knew they would lose the public's interest after a while. And by the time it got to the end, it'll look like that's what you're being charged with. They'll forget all of the bogus charges that took place from May 2003 all the way up to now 2004.
Right.
If I'm saying so, no. Ain't no way in the world you can say I got a fair trial. Not to mention that when the panic started for them after June 30th, while in middle district court, when I made it very clear that I'm an indigenous person, I'm a chief of your Massey Native American Moors, the Creek Nation, that we are registered with BIA under 208-1999, and that we are indigenous people. We're not trying to seek federal recognition and fall up under them. We're saying we were colonists, and our tribe, your Massey, was here long before they got here and before 1776 when they set up their laws. And we did a family chart. We had outside genealogists confirmed the family link from the Yamassees from Georgia all the way to Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Indians all the way back down to Georgia and down into Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, where the brother of Ben York went, and that was all, the Yamassee bones were recently found. So they knew that this case is more about jurisdiction and sovereignty and indigenous status and inalienable rights that we have as a tribe of people, as black-skinned Indians, here in the wilderness of North America. And that's where they panicked. So they set out then to get a man that could overrun this here, or override the facts, somebody would take a chance and just do what he wants. And that man was put into place by George Bush's father, which is Hugh S. D. Royal, right? When you chased his descendancy back and found out he was born to Confederate family, and he's from Brunswick. So he moved it there. Check this now. He's from Brunswick, right? He practiced law in Brunswick, family's in Brunswick, and he moved the case there. In Brunswick, he selects the jury from whites around Brunswick or Savannah or nearby communities, and he made his own jury. Then he made it so nobody could question the jury, so nobody knows who the jury is so much, so nobody could find out whether he picked them and how he picked them. Well, we sat there, and we had the moments, like I said before, we have the minutes or the transcripts of the jury selection where he selected them himself. And everybody who came in there, who walked in that room, and said, yes, I heard about this case. Everyone heard about the case. They read about the case. But none of them got it from the flyers, that the bogus so-called flyers that they claimed, that he claimed in court on record, that the flyers were responsible for spoiling Brunswick. All that was part of the plot. There was no fair trial. And now we wasn't allowed to present our evidence. We wasn't allowed to present our witnesses. They had no DNA to verify it. They had the children. Some of those girls were grown. There was no kids there. Some of those girls were grown, had venereal diseases that I do not have. They had no videotapes of any tapes of me on any tapes, any pictures with me on any pictures, any audio telephone conversations with me having any kind of you know, vote, nothing like that. They had, they showed a tape to everybody of me and a bunch of people coming out from Applebee's, and we're coming from Applebee's celebrating somebody's birthday, and everybody got food, and they said, see, look at that. What'd you see? You see me walk out, and you see my wife walk out, and you see a couple of people behind us, another adult, and the girl whose birthday we were celebrating. They all had the little doggy bags with them, and we got in the car, and it was a night shot, and that was the best. The man who sat on the stand, who said that he was a surveillance man, admitted on the stand, well, I have many, many tapes, but they only showed that one. Why would they only show that one? Because all the other tapes, he said, did you ever catch him doing anything? No. Did you ever surveil him on the land? No. He said, well, what did you do? He said, well, every time I surveilled him, he was somewhere outside. Where? Every time I went to Kanye's, before I went to the restaurant, I went into a Bible store. They didn't want him to show that. They didn't want him to show me going into the Bible store in Kanye's, Georgia, in the mall, and buying, you know, Bibles to be passed out every Saturday at our classes on the Shabbat. That they didn't want, so they cut it down. But the tape they showed had nothing to do with sex, had nothing to do with racketeering or anything, just me walking up. So they can do that with anybody coming out of any restaurant, right? Let me go back. They had no physical evidence. They in no way tied me to anything. They didn't tie me to no stuffed doll. They didn't tie me into no videotapes. They didn't tie me to no pictures. They didn't tie me into no audio tapes. They didn't tie me into anything. They did not prove their case at all. If I was, they didn't even attempt to. What they did attempt to do is establish that I'm God, or I think I'm God, and approach it from a religious standpoint of view, which resulted in the jury being so confused that instead of them asking for some pertinent part of the evidence, which wasn't there, they had to ask for something ridiculous as the Holy Tablets. What does the Holy Tablets, a religious book, have to do with a RICO case and a molestation case? Nothing whatsoever. So why are they asking for that? Obviously, because the prosecution was pushing a religious thing, because their attempts and their plan is to use this case as a precedent to go after all the black churches up in Georgia, throughout Georgia, because there's a lot of very prominent black ministers now, and they're very large congregations, and they're very powerful, and that means they control many, many, many votes. So the whole thing, this is a plot that was put together. Jake and them was a part of the conspiracy. They had to figure a way to get this thing to make it look legit. That's why they got Jake York, who had his own charges, put him on salary, threatened him up, told him they'd give him immunity from all the stuff he did. And we got a whole list of things that he's involved in illegally. It's up on the internet if you want to go there. So, no, it wasn't a fair trial. The judge himself, who actually was, planned it. He ignored my request for a continuance, which I needed because I was trying to get rid of these lawyers that they pinned on me, which I said was never mind these Caucasian lawyers. And I got this black lawyer, Adrian Patrick, and I sat right there in front of that judge and I said, my constitutional rights, according to your beliefs, tells me I have a right to get a continuance because this lawyer, after age, is you sent me to New York for a reevaluation, right? When I came back from New York, after 90 days of the reevaluation, the psychiatrist said I was sane. He said I was a black Indian. He confirmed everything in his statement. They tried to take that out, but we have it on record, right? When I came back, now, I go before you, I say, okay, now I'm ready. I wasn't planning on fighting no trial with no Garland or law firm because I found out that they were working with Putnam County and they were working with the government, so I was not trusting them. And they gave me an Indian guy called Manny, but I found out that this Indian guy called Manny had a Caucasian wife and that he himself works for the government as a military lawyer. So I knew I was in the wrong hands. So I said, whoever put these people together, I don't need them. So I got a black lawyer. And when I got the black lawyer, I told the judge that we need a continuance so I could work on the case. Because after all, y'all bounced me to like 10 different prisons, so I couldn't be stable, so I couldn't get my case together. I couldn't find me. Every time I get settled in one place, you'd fly me somewhere else. You cut me off from the telephone. You cut me off from pens and pencils at certain times. You cut off my mail at other times. You cut off my visits. So I couldn't really work on my case. So I have a box of stuff that Garland would bring in. And I'd never see Garland himself, but he would drive these boxes left off of my case. And then they'd move me and they'd leave the boxes behind. And then that stuff would get lost. And I'd end up in another place where you can't get that stuff. And it went on like that there. If I was, when I finally got before Judge Wells in Macon Middle District down to private meeting, because he didn't want to have this open, but there's still minutes on it, transcripts, I said to him, I need time to work with this lawyer on my case. Because after 2 years, the prosecution had 2 years and 2 months to work on the case, investigate, to find people, to track down witnesses and victims and all that there, and they came up with naught. They came up with no evidence. They came up with nothing concrete whatsoever and nothing that tied me to. What they did is use a law called hearsay. There's nothing no one said I said. It's what other people said. There's no statements of me. There's no tapes of me. There's no videotapes of me. There's nothing that they could have put anybody in that courtroom and had people get up there and do exactly what they did and found that person guilty. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
The way it was set up, it didn't matter who it was because it never tied anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
You follow? Right. They show my bank statements, but then I bring my accountant down from New York for 30 years. I've been working with him for 30 years, and he plainly says, well, this man has never been audited in 30 years. In fact, he's overpaid his tax. I can't even see how you can get a RICO for $10,000. This man deposits millions of dollars in the bank over a period of time. So where it under another name, Dwight D. York, a bogus name, right?
Right.
A name that doesn't exist, that I never lived under, right, which is called a misnomer, which they have on all the documents. But if he was living under that name and he didn't tell you that he was doing another kind of business, would you know? Which is a stupid question, because the answer to the question has to be no. But he never said to the man after that, well, in fact, he doesn't work under any other name. He doesn't live under that name, Dwight D. York. He never did anything. There's no documents. They never put one thing on the screen in the court to show anything where I signed my name as Dwight D. York, or any bank statements, or any accounts, or any private accounts, or any private investments under that name. They just used a trap to trick the jury. Well, the jury's already working with the judge anyway, but to make it look like they're tricking the jury into thinking, well, maybe this man was doing something behind his accountant's back.
Right.
And this would support their attempt to get a RICO where it made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me for running on, but I talk fast.
Okay. That brought up another question. There are rumors that the officials in Edenton know of a person named Dwight York, and they were saying there was a distinction between Dwight York and Malachi York.
Oh, yeah. It's very clear. See, they had meetings. They had so many meetings that was going before the Board of Commissioners, right? And Marianne Tanner got a document. We have the document where she's talking to a person named Dwight York, and she separates Dwight York, the son, who's in his 30s, from Malachi York, the father, who's in his 50s. It's in black and white. She says, oh, I know the difference. I met the son, but I never met the father. So everybody in Putnam County knew all the time that they was using a bogus name. But in order for them to tie and say to the public that I was a previous convicted felon, which I wasn't, they had to use another name. Because if they used my name, people would have went into computers because they know we have police officers and we have FBI agents that are part of our organization. They would have pulled up on the computer and found that I never was a convicted felon. And all those charges they threw out in the beginning of this case in the newspaper to let me look like a monster would have disappeared immediately, and I would have been eligible for bond. So in order to do that, they had to use a misnomer, create a fictitious character, and then feed the public with he's a convicted felon, he's an ex-rapist, all these things that they later on had to come back and admit was not true privately, but have not come back onto the media and proved it to them and admitted to them yet. So they knew all the time in Putnam County that Dwight was my son.
Okay.
And not me. They knew that all the time. They knew the age. They knew when he used to come here because he was living down here in Georgia before I got down here. And he used to go to all the board meetings and talk to all those people. Jerome Dean Adams was there. That's before Seals even got in town. That's when they had Sheriff Russo here. And Jerome Dean Adams and Marion Tandem came on the board. They keep on being. But they encountered my son. And they knew who he was. And they know I'm not him. And they know he's not me. They're just deceiving the public. That's probably what they're doing to try to get this case so they can try to take those people's land out there and try to take our women and stop us from propagating our teachings.
Right.
Chief Black Thunderbird Eagle. How are you doing this morning?
Okay, for a man who's in the belly of the beast, on the Isles of Patmos, I'm doing all right.
Okay. Well, I have some questions I think that the public would like to be cleared up.
Yes.
Okay.
How about everybody first? Go ahead.
Is it true that you did not move to Georgia with any of the alleged victims?
It's a known fact. In fact, the parents of the victims that they did have on the stand all admitted, one after the next, that they moved down here. So some mother right there told them that she came down with us, and we didn't come to no land. We went over to Macon, Georgia. They lived in Macon. Other people lived in Savannah, Georgia, and different places. I was not the first down here. I didn't bring any children down here. In my vehicle, when I came, there was no children in my vehicle at all, whatsoever, all adults, and we have all that logged on record and verified. The courts tried to ignore that.
Okay. Now, is it also true that when you got to Georgia, people had already began to move to the land and were already in Georgia?
Yes, there was people already living on the land months before I came down to the land.
Okay.
Right? The families were already, some was already settled here, some brothers here preparing the land and all that. When I came down, in fact, was abrupt. Right? We came down here purposely because the Eagle Rock Mound, or Rock Eagle Mound, is right down the road from us. That's why we came here, as Yamasee Native America was coming back to our own land as indigenous people. But the other family was already down here, not only in Putnam County, but on that land and throughout the Spotter, Macon, and different places, already living there before I even got here.
Okay. Now, the land itself was originally purchased as a pure trust, or can you explain?
Not purchased as a pure trust. A pure trust is a common law term.
Okay.
Right, where you turn the property over to a company, to a pure trust.
Okay.
Georgia is under common law. Fields and them will keep getting a newspaper and play games with people in Georgia and say, they're using this old common law thing. Look it up and you'll find out Georgia is under common law. Georgia state don't even have a forfeiture law at all. So the feds had to be created to get a forfeiture on those people's land. And they know we had a pure trust. When we went to Jones County Court before Hugh Winfield and the pure trust was put before him and questioned, he said, I'm not touching that. We got the minutes to back that up. I'm not going nowhere near that. And he left it alone. And so we left it as that was it. I moved away. I moved to Clark County. Forgot about the land. Had no interest in the land. And was not even visiting the land. That was another lie. I didn't visit the land for over 2 years. I wasn't there. So what happened is they forced me to come over because they said, we need you to do a quick claim deed because the judge and them won't release this. They won't recognize our pure trust, even though they knew all the time the pure trust was legal in the state of Georgia as common law. But he said he wouldn't use another tactic to force our back against the wall. So I said, okay, I'll sign a quick claim deed, whatever it is, just get it out of my hair. So I signed a quick claim deed over to a bunch of owners, and then they established in court in the final meeting that I had no interest in the court, and this was Judge Pryor, right? And Lawson, as an attorney for the state, of the county, I think he was at the time, paid the fee of $16, established that Malachi Z. York or Chief Black Thunderbird or Esau, whatever you want to call me, has no interest in the 404 Shadydale Road property. None of the 476 acres have any interest in. It's not mine. It's other people's. They're just justifying trying to steal it.
Okay. Now, with that being said, the property, you said you moved down to Georgia because it was Native American, your Native American roots were here in Georgia. Was
right.
It also true that the land in upstate New York that's mentioned in the indictments, that was also Native American land?
That's right. We had a reservation set up there, signs, there are pictures of it. Different tribes used to come up there. We used to have powwows up there. It was in Liberty, New York, and that's where we used to gather. We was dressing in Native American clothes. We had Native American music. We lived our culture up there before we came down here. It's not something we acquired when we got here. It's not no newfound idea. I was a Native American all my life, regardless of what religion I got involved in, or what fraternity I got involved in, or what culture I studied, be it the Masonics, or the Egyptians, or the Christians, or the Muslims. I was still, by birthright and by gene and genealogy, a Native American, Yamasee Native American of the Creek Nation in the state of Georgia. From Georgia, we traced our family track and the railroad tracks all the way up to Massachusetts, from the Massachusetts Indians to the Pico Indians, all the way back down to the Cherokee, all the way back down to the Creek Confederates. Then even over to Florida, where we found Chief John Horse, whose name was Juba, which was Ben York, my great-grandfather's brother. And he was down amongst the Seminoles in St. Augustine, where they recently found bones.
Okay.
And you can trace him out also. John Horse, they call him.
Okay. And is it also true that, because in the trial, they're trying to say that these certain alleged victims were traveling in interstate commerce. Is it true that the alleged victims moved with their own mothers and fathers to Georgia and
that's
on their own?
Each one of them. When Abigail was up there, her father got on the stand. He confirmed that she moved with him. Tatiana Thomas, right, called her Tia, her mother was on the stand, and she confirmed that she moved down with her. None of the victims moved with me. None of the victims was in my vehicle. Their parents are the ones who transported them down here, and they didn't transport them from up on the mountain directly to that land. No, they moved from different places. Some of them wasn't living upon the mountain. They came from different parts of up there in the north, whether it was Philadelphia or New York, and came to different parts of Georgia. And then later, they moved on the land. You know, they got permission from whoever and moved on the land. I think at the time, were the people in charge of the land.
Hmm.
Granted them that right, not me. It had nothing to do with me.
Okay. Now, is it true that there were no allegations or reports or charges of anything dealing with sexual abuse in New York or upstate?
Right. Our organization existed since 1967, got incorporated as the Nubian Islamic Hebrews Ansar Allah community around 1973.
Okay.
Now, from 67 to 73, we had a community set up. There was none. From 73 all the way up to 1988, from 1973 to 1988, there's never been any type of claim of anything to deal with molestation or child abuse or sex scandals, nor anything dealing with bank fraud or any type of all the stuff they call RICO or money exchanges. None of these things existed from 1967 all the way up to 1988. They started fabricating their charges from 1988, and it's not backed up by any of the truth. So you have absolutely no allegations of anything. Any children, don't forget now, you're talking about four people, four children, and about four adults that are making a statement after thousands of members. There's thousands of members that passed through our organization or from 1967 all the way up, and all of them have children, and all of their children are the same ages, and they have sons and daughters, and if you ask them, these are the ones trying to get on the stand to say, which the judge would let them, this is not true. I know these kids. I know the kids are making the claims, and I know him. I mean, we've been knowing him, Baba. They make a big deal about the word Baba. Baba's a very common word. Baba means father, whether it's Abba, Baba, or Abu in different languages. We are fortunate enough to speak different languages other than English because we taught them different languages so they'd understand different things in culture. But they would use words and cliches and things to make this, to hype it up. But it doesn't work if people just use common sense and say, the organization started in 1967 and they have no complaints of any type of child molestation through the man's whole beautiful part of my life, the whole time from the time I'm like 20-something all the way up to 50-something, there's nothing. And then I wait till I'm 50-something years old, I'm going into the old age, and then I start playing games and pretending, and they're keeping records of me having sex up to something like 5 and 6 times per day at my age? Impossible. Right. None of that stuff existed. They created that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all a plot to take the land and to stop this organization and to prevent our tribe from getting its sovereignty. We are Yemassee Native American Moors. I declared my sovereignty. I stood up for my indigenous rights on June 30th, and here comes all the noise getting ready to come back in now. Okay?
Okay.
And I did my best to make it clear to the world, I do not fall under their laws. They came to our land. They invaded our land. They brought their stuff to our land. You follow? This is our land.
Okay. Now, dealing with New York, and that's where the basis of the Massachusetts Indian and some of the Native American roots that you mentioned before.
Yes.
Now, they're saying that there was no financial crimes alleged,
right,
in New York.
None.
Or anything of that nature.
Right.
Now, one thing that's always been put in the public is that Mr. York or Ms. Dwight York is a felon.
Right.
Is it true?
Absolutely not. I am not a convicted felon, and they know that for a fact. Otherwise, they would have tried to tag gun charges on me. Because that's what they love to do, tag gun charges. They found a bunch of guns, and if I had legal guns in my house, and I'm not a felon, so that's why there's no gun charges, excuse me, anywhere in this case. Because what they're trying to tie to me is stuff that took place 35 years ago when I was a kid.
Mm.
And it was done under youthful offendant. The youthful offendant does not register in as a federal charge.
Right.
So that was all part of a plot also to stir the public. He's a convicted felon. He had rape. They call rape was statutory rape when I was a kid. And I had a girlfriend. She was younger than me. And we got involved and we had a child. It wasn't a thing where I raped anybody and walked away. It was statutory rape. And it was my girlfriend. And we lived and we didn't break up. We had the child and we raised the child and everything. You follow?
Yeah. So that's just another ploy.
Another ploy to win people over to make me look like a bad guy. Just like the 100 wife story.
Mm-hmm.
He has 100 wives, plus he's having sex with 100 children. Hello, who is he? Superman or something?
Right.
These things are impossible. That people just use their logic. They say the things they're saying don't make sense. They don't even add up to make physical sense. They're impossibilities.
Right. Now, another issue that keeps being brought up, and I know we've discussed it before, but that's the name of Dwight York.
Right.
Where did this Dwight York come from?
The name Dwight goes back in the family now, the relatives,
mm-hmm,
right? On my grandmother's side. We have our whole family tree up on the internet and they can see him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't have a first name. To get my birth certificate, the one issued to me here in Boston, Massachusetts, you see there's no first name. It's just male. Every other person who belongs to the family of Mary and David have first names. All right? But in my birth certificate, of course, there was no first name. So now, they took a name that my grandmother used to call me short. She used to call me Dookie and different nicknames, right? And that's the name I named my son, Dwight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they took that and got him in his life mixed Christoph with mine and started making this statement that I had, you know, that my name is Dwight New York. This is illegal. Because all of the documents they filed have the wrong name on it and it's the wrong person. And even in the statements they made in Putnam County where Mary Antana mentioned the age matches the newspaper articles where the newspaper article, the Macon Telegraph made a mistake and used Dwight York and said age 36 or 34.
Right.
So they knew they had the wrong person all the time. So there's a misnomer in the process.
Right. Right.
To get them to suing them for using the wrong name. You cannot try a person with the wrong name.
Right.
When you can correct the name. And I'm walking around the state with the correct name, Malachi Z. York, and the feds are still pushing the wrong name. This is illegal. Because
right.
They got to keep these people from being able to go back and check these names. Because if they pull these names up, smart people like our organization will go on the computer and try to find out. Does he have a felon? Was he this? Was he that? And they'll find it's not true. So they got to try to keep a bogus name in front of the public so the public won't be able to look up the real name. And
right.
Find out the stories are not true.
Right. Now, dealing with the travel and the organization, or not just the organization, but the tribe with other organizations within it, moving from New York to Georgia, what would cause so many people to move? What is it that would make people want to move to Georgia? I know there's been mentions of you moving to Georgia because of safety for your life, things of that nature.
But that wasn't the reason why. That's what prompted me to move abruptly.
Right.
I moved for safety. I moved down there so I could be back near my ancestors.
Right.
The Native Americans. But because there was a threat on my life, that made me speed up and move, you know, abrupt. But many people came down because we're a tribe of Indians.
Okay.
And tribes move, as tribes move from place to place, they're admitting that there's another chief from our tribe called Latif on one hand.
Okay.
They're admitting that there's another chief. There's four or five different chiefs. They have the Shinnecock with us, the Cherokee with us. We have the Navajo with us. We have the Washita with us. These are different tribes, mm-hmm. right? All belonging to, you know, all Native Americans. You follow
right.
me? So when people heard that I, as the chief of one of the groups, Yamasee Native American Moors moved, some people started moving there. But other people had already moved down here to be close to their ancestors before me and had their own chiefs that they was that they were under their chief. I'm not the chief of all in the Wapkins. I'm not the chief of all the Indians in the world. I'm not their sole leader. I'm not in control of everybody's minds or everybody's thoughts or everybody's finances or who sleeps with who or when they sleep with them. All that is bogus jargon that SEALs and them came up with to establish a monster case.
Right. Okay. Now, I know because earlier we were mentioning that there was time periods where no allegations were
right.
reported, like 67 to 70.
Long time.
But also in 1993, from 1993 when the move to Georgia was done or was taking place,
right.
to all the way to 2002 up until making the arrest.
No, there was still none until, don't say the 2002, but then they'll use that. From
right.
1993 all the way up to 1997, there was none.
Okay.
4, 5, 6, 7, nobody complained. Meanwhile, they're saying that these events started in Brooklyn.
Right.
But nobody complained. And the people that they're saying it, say it happened in Brooklyn, but then they followed us down here.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-mm,
but why would you follow me down here? Here's your chance. If I move abruptly and nobody moved with me, then you didn't. When you gave me the move, you told me, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to move with that man because he did this to me. How come then you move down here, live down here, and then later on stay here until you finally get put off the land and then you make your allegation?
Right.
That does not make sense.
Right. And that's from 88, from 67 to 1988 is 21 years.
21 years of no complaints, whether it was financial or IRS or sexual abuse or
mm-hmm.
any molestation.
So actually, we have to do it from... Actually, we have to do it from 67 to 97, which
right.
would be 30 years.
30 years. Okay, I'm glad you can do that for me.
Yeah.
30 years, no complaints. And all of a sudden, that becomes my new nature.
Right.
That's not the pedophile law. We investigated the types of pedophiles, the different types of pedophiles, and what makes them work the way they do. And there's none that fit that profile.
Right. It's amazing when you do the facts and you see it actually in front of you. This case just doesn't make sense.
It's a hoax. It's a big hoax. They're setting a precedence to try. First, they're afraid of me because of my books and my teachings and the fast growth of my organization worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Then they saw an opportunity to combine the two, to go after all the other black men down there because of votes and control.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, we can't get this man. He doesn't do anything illegal. He pays his taxes. Does everything right. We got to come up with the most, you know, what's the best way? Oh, let's use that new RICO thing we have we use on drug dealers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the case looks like a drug dealer case. So we can just get anybody to get up and say, yes, he did it. Yes, he did that. And that's all it takes. And there's no hearsay, so they can't go back and forth and say, well, didn't you tell me this? Didn't this happen when they cut all that out? And that's why the judge locked the case down. What they made, this so-called York case,
mm-hmm.
is really a drug case.
Mm-hmm.
They use a drug case, let's say, pattern to lay this case out.
Right.
The way they deal with gangsters and all that. How you going to call our organization, RICO, a gangster? You got corporations that you're talking about. We call ourselves the enterprise. It's not registered. Yet
right.
The so-called enterprise that's not registered is depositing money in the banks. So you're telling me the banks are receiving money from an unincorporated enterprise? Then the banks are corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
How you going to have all these different organizations existing at the same time, and then you say the purpose of organizing and changing name was so we can hide who we were, but all the organizations are still existing all at the same time, and different people belong to different ones?
Right.
All at the same time? But you're making it look like it metamorphosized from group to group, from name to name, to change to change. When you're a Muslim, you pick up a Muslim name. If you're an Indian, you pick up an Indian name. If you're a Christian, when people can become Catholics and they get baptized, they give them a Christian name.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're studying at the time, that's the name you come. So when we're Sumerians, we have Sumerian name. We're studying Sumerian. We're
right.
Studying their language. When you're Muslim, you have an Arabic name. When you're Christian, you have a Christian name. Except when you're Indian, you have a Native American name. That
right.
Makes sense. You can be all of those things and still be one person.
Right.
You can be a Native American by nature. You can join a Christian church. You can become Masonic all at the same time. And you can study Egyptology.
Right.
You can become, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And still be the same person without it trying to be some type of plot or scheme, you know, to confuse or divert just attention from yourself. How can I try to hide who I am and I'm as public as I am?
Right.
I'm not only public in the so-called religious world, I'm public in the music world. Mm-hmm. At Dr. York, got albums and groups that I produce. I was on videotapes. I'm all over the doggone place. How can I be trying to hide, trying to make it look like I'm COVID and I got an organization, I'm sneaking around, I'm doing all this stuff. How can I do that as advert as I am?
Mm-hmm.
You can't go nowhere in the world where somebody don't know who I am.
Right.
They don't know me by the music, Dr. York. They don't know me from York Productions. They don't know me by that. They don't know me as Imam Issa. They don't know me as that. But they all know me. And I put out a book saying Dr. York is not trying to hide himself, showing that all these names are the same people. You can get the book.
Right.
It's available.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back to the issue dealing with the prophecy and things of that they're trying to put forth to the public's mind is that there is so much control.
Right.
Now, is it true that you did not control who came to live on the property?
Absolutely. That's the stuff they found a couple of listeners they call, you know, pastors and all that kind of stuff they were trying to do. But first of all, for the 2 years was gone by that I was in Clark County and not living on the land, then who was controlling it then?
Mm-hmm.
Who was deciding who gets on, who leaves, who decides? All these people said they jump up and left when they won, and their sister came back and they came. Well, if they were visiting, my mother visited, my sister visited me, I wasn't there. So if they're visiting, if sisters and brothers were visiting, who was giving them permission to come to the gate if I wasn't there? And
mm-hmm.
if I was in control of all of that, then how was I controlling that from another place?
Mm-hmm.
If I was, they didn't even arrest me on the land. They arrested me in Baldwin County.
Right.
I was already in custody when they attacked the land and put guns in babies' heads and
mm-hmm.
threw tear gas around there and threatened people. They knew I was in custody. They just wanted, they were trying to get a Waco.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get a Waco with us because Waco is one group isolated in one place. We have groups all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can't jump down on all these groups at the same time. They found that out after they got there, after they got their hands into this organization. They realized how big it was and how worldwide spread it was, and so they can't classify it like a little Waco where one little denomination in one little area with one little minister. We have ministers all over the place. We have teachers all over the place. We have leaders all over the place speaking different languages. Some of them are speaking in languages I don't even understand,
right.
And they're still a part of our organization.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big hoax to try to topple the most frightening organization that ever came along, because we get along, all races, all colors of people, and all religions, and we get together, and we come on, we agree on the things that we agree on, and we avoid the things we disagree on, and they can't have that, because they need everybody to worship them, and look like them, and want to be them, and that doesn't work when you get a bunch of people who don't want to be them, and don't want to be you. We're not interested in hip-hop, we're not interested in your drugs, we're not interested in your bling-bling, we're not interested in your filth, we're not interested in your stripping our clothes down and wearing body-tight clothes. We don't want none of that stuff. We're interested in your perms, we're interested in your color contacts, we don't want none of that stuff, and that's what bothers them, because without that, they don't have control over your mind, and they know generation after generation, you'll become more and more liberated from them.
Mm-hmm.
You start thinking for yourself, you start doing for self and kind, like the Nation of Islam and them trying to do in the 5%ers and the Rastafarians, and all the people who broke away, right away, they gotta be caught, we gotta get rid of them. Why? Because they wanna think outside of the framework of the image of the beast. You don't wanna be them.
Mm-hmm.
They want everybody to wanna worship them, everybody to wanna be like them, everybody to wanna like them, everybody wanna wear their clothes, listen to their music, eat their foods. We don't want that, you're a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I become to them, a troublemaker. I'm not interested in what they want. I don't care nothing about what they believe. They're entitled to be. Europeans can be anything they want to be. One more thing. When a European
mm-hmm.
says that Africans need to go back to Africa, Europeans need to go back to Europe. That was the point I was trying to make.
Okay.
They were talking about how blacks need to go back to Africa. If I was saying if all the Europeans go back to Africa, I'll go back to Europe, and all Africans go back to Africa, and all the Indians go back to India and leave us here in our country, Native Americans, and visit us on visas. You know what I'm saying? We'll be quite content with that, too. And we all get along.
Right.